When I think of being afraid or having fear, and think back through my life at times when I say I was afraid or I was fearful, and really three things come to my mind when that was produced, when I know that I was afraid. And it happens to do with bees, bears, and bulls. It just that they were the three things that I experienced in a very negative way growing up and even into my adulthood and even into my marriage. The three things that when I faced those three things in very negative situations, and I could feel the fear come upon me. I could feel the fear coming on me when Billy Bob and I were out in the middle of a 5-acre field and there was nowhere to go and he had enough of me. And he turned around to enforce that he had had enough of me. I know what that felt like at that moment. I was fearful. And I know that when I pushed over the tree with my brother, and we didn't know when we were young, we pushed over this dead tree, and we were celebrating this big success. We didn't know that it was also a beehive as well. And they were less than desirable for us to push over their tree. And then I can remember beginning between a sow bear and her cubs. That's not a place you want to be either. I found that out. When I think of things that have instigated fear in my life, it's really bees and bears and bulls. That's not that there hasn't been other things, but they're the three top things that point out in my mind. Fear is a powerful motivator. I often say fear is a powerful motivator, but a horrible guide. And it can motivate you, but it doesn't tell you where to go. And you can run. Fear in the definition is this, a distressing emotion aroused by impeding danger, evil, pain, etc., etc., etc. It'll motivate you, this distressing emotion motivated me to move. And they tell us that there's four or five different ways we would respond to fear. And in those ways are we fight or flight, right? Those are the two main things. And I seem to always lean toward the fight until I got in the presence of bees, bears, and bulls. And it just wasn't what I could fight. So you can push the button. So there's a fight. And we fear injury. We fear something bad happening. We fear failure. And we fear inadequacy. And we fear uncertainty. They're the main things we fear. And the way we respond to those is the next slide. We fight or flight or freeze or fawn. That's the three, the four Fs. They're not my Fs. They're someone else's. That's the way we respond to fear. We run from it. We fight with it. We freeze. We're frozen in fear. Or the word fawn there is too. We try to make an alliance with whatever is going on there. We try not to rile it up so that we don't have to deal with it. I tried that with Billy Bob. He didn't want to have any discussion. It was not part of his communication skills to be able to sit down and work this out. He didn't do that. So we respond by we fight or flight or freeze or fawn. But how do you respond to fear? And sometimes perhaps one of those choices is an okay choice. But it's okay choice only as long as we can get our head inside of it. Because continued fear driving us, we will not know where we're going. Does that make sense this morning? Because as I started to move in the field away from Billy Bob, I screamed bloody murder to my wife who was in a 1976 square body Chevy. When you add two people, square body Chevy, 1976, Billy Bob, you start to even the playing field. But if fear, I could, just so you know, you can't outrun a bee. Okay, I tried that. You can't. I don't know how fast bees can fly, but they can fly faster than I. I've never been really that speedy, okay? But I can't outrun a bee. I can't outrun a bear, and I can't outrun a bull. But how do we respond to fear? And some of those choices are the initial choice, but are they the choice that's going to get us success? Will they be the choice that will move us forward? Life is dangerous. It really is. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says this, I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers and in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. And that's all because the Apostle Paul was following God. Fear is a real thing in our life. Fear is a real thing in our life. And if we only respond the way that they tell us to fight it, or run from it, or frozen in fear, or fawn, or try to make an alliance with whatever's making you afraid. Just so you know what that means, if you have someone in your life that you're afraid of and you just try not to rattle their cage so you don't rile their anger. That's fawning the fear. That's trying to make an alliance with something so the fear isn't real, isn't realized in your life. Life is dangerous. Living God's life is dangerous. I told a guy one time who stood, and I thought this was a time when I stood before a guy and I thought I was going to end my life there. He was extremely larger than me. When he stood up and opposed me in a ministry, I was in ministry, I was a pastor of New Life. When I stood up to oppose him, or he opposed me, I looked into his Adam's apple. I'm all I could think of is Jesus, receive my battered body. That's all I could pray. I was glad that my body wasn't going to go, but I could tell at that moment fear was starting to raise. So maybe bad guys with bulls and bears and beasts. Life is dangerous. Walking out this life with God is dangerous. And we're going to have to deal with the fear that it produces, or we're always going to be on the run. Or we're always going to be fighting. Or we're always going to be frozen in fear. We're always going to be housed in. How do we deal with our fear? What will you do if you seek the more? Push the button. If you seek the more from God, and God pours out the more, and the more incites a fear in you, what will you do? Does that make sense this morning? We've been talking about seeking more from God. And I want more from God. And we talk about more from the four passages of Scripture. And you'll get so tired of hearing these maybe, and I don't really care. This is the fifth week we've talked about the more. And we talked about the more freedom, because it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. What about the newness? The new has come, or the freshness that He wants to bring into your life. And we talk about the food from His table. We talk about the fullness that He wants to bring to our life. And I have come to more freedom and more freshness and more fullness and more food, God. Push the button. And it's more food, God. But what happens? What happens when God begins to pour that out in our lives? And all of a sudden, I become fearful of where that's going to take me. What's that going to do in my life? What happens? Do I run? Do I just freeze up? Do I fight against what God wants in my life because fear is driving me? How do I deal with the fear? What happens if I seek more and God pours out more and that more incites fear in you? And I'm going to almost guarantee you that there's going to have to be fear dealt with. Maybe it's the fear of inadequacy. I'm not enough, God. The fear of failure. I can't do this, God. You're going to have to. I'm going to have to. We're going to have to deal with fear. And fear will keep you from having the more. Because God will pour out the more. And you will get fearful. And fearful will try to drive out the more. Because fear will want you to be safe. Fear will want you to be comfortable. Fear will give you all the reasons why you should not be doing this, why you should not take this risk, why you should not be out among the world as Paul was. So I want to give you another F this morning that I think that we need. Push the button, please. Oh, I got this. I forgot to put this in there. I got this message. I was thinking about this the other day, and I got this message on my phone. It's from Verizon. And God speaks to me through this craziest things. But look at the Verizon message. They sent me this message. You deserve more, and you will get it when. I found that very interesting. At 1:46 on Thursday, my battery was at 39%. I didn't have very good service, only two bars, no 4G. But somehow God got a message to me. He said, there's more for you, and you'll get it when. Don't let fear drive you away. What is endeavoring to get you to fight? You can push the button now. To fight. To freeze. To fawn. One more F I want to throw in there this morning. Find. I want you to find courage. I don't want to lessen the fear, because I don't think we can really lessen the fear. But can you find the courage to move forward when God pours out the more in my life and in your life and in our lives, when God pours out the more fullness, the more food from His table in your life, the more freedom that He wants to give you, and the more newness or the freshness that He wants to give you. I want you to find courage. I don't want you to fight it. Listen, New Life Verse, I don't want us to fight it. And I've watched people flee from it. I've watched people run away because what God was asking them to do seemed too big. They were too afraid. They were too inadequate. They were too something. And fear drove out the more in their life. I want you and I to find courage this morning. I want us to find courage in the face of fear. When God is pouring out the more, I want us to find courage. Not fight it, not run from it, not freeze or not fawn with what's trying to bring fear into our life. I want us to find courage. Look what it says, and we're going to go to Psalm 91 in a minute, but look what it says in Psalm 94. Unless the Lord had helped me, I would soon have died. I cried out, I'm slipping! Cheryl! That's what I said with Billy Bob. And don't worry, they can hear me three mountains over. The psalmist says with an exclamation point, God, I'm slipping! Woo! I get the picture there, and he says, I have no intention of running. I have no intention of letting this drive me away from you, God. But I got to tell you, God, I'm slipping. I'm falling, God, and I don't want to fall, God. I'm falling. I'm slipping, God. Sometimes I think we're way too prim and proper when we come before God. Oh, thy heavenly Father. God says, where did you get that language? Don't you know that you're slipping? Dear heavenly most high, you're slipping, dude. You just need to scream it out. I'm slipping. I'm slipping. And look what happens. And your unfailing love, O Lord, supported me. When doubt filled my mind, your comfort gave me renewed hope and cheer. Can we just say this morning, I'm slipping. God, what you've called me to do, when you pour out the more, I'm slipping. God, I need you. I need you. I need you every hour. Or I'm running, or I'm fighting, or I'm frozen. But God, I need to find courage in you. He tells Isaiah, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings like eagles. They will fly. And I want us to just go down through Psalm 91. I want us to find courage to fly. And I bought a bunch of Frisbees this week. But you know what the disappointing part is? These Frisbees come in these little dudes. Who would buy a Frisbee and put it in a sack? Watch. See, this is the problem. We're in this, and we can't fly. I brought no sacks with me today. As a matter of fact, they're in my trash. A Frisbee does not need a sack, and either do you. If you're going to soar on the wings of eagles, you don't need to be folded up and twisted up and folded just right and squished all up and all wrinkled up and shoved nicely so you don't mess up anything. Because you can fit this in the glove box of the van. This is going to make a mess. And what God's going to do in your life, you might think, this is going to make a mess. You're right. Can I just share? I just want you to... Just a few points this morning. Just quickly down through Psalm 91. Find your courage in God. That's what I want you to do today. So that when God pours out the more, fear doesn't drive it away, but you can soar on the wings of eagles.
Come on now.
So here we go. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I should trust. In whom I trust. All the names of God just overwhelm me there. The Most High, Elyon, Supreme God, the Almighty, Shaddai, the most powerful with no comparison, the Lord, Yahweh, the self-existent one who needs nothing outside of himself to exist. He is the refuge. He is your fortress. He is the Elohim in your life. He is the one mighty God. I want us to find our courage in that kind of God. Not this wimpy old thing that the world tries to push away. That God nobody pushes around. And He's the one who is pouring out the more in your life. And if we're going to get our courage from Him, we need to know that I'm dwelling in Him. I may be slipping, but I'm dwelling in God. I live in that God. And I will not be put in a sack. And I will soar on the wings of eagles. You will not twist me up, world. You will not twist me up, flesh. You will not twist me up, enemy, and get me to be happy in this little... What is this? Because I dwell in Him. And the next time you face something, I think you need to realize you're dwelling in Him. You hear me? You're dwelling in Him. Capital H, Him. You're dwelling in Him. No matter what more God pours out in your life, no matter what is going on and God wants you to move forward, we need to realize that you're dwelling, that I'm dwelling in Him. Verse 3 says this, surely He will save you from the follower's snare and from the deadly pestilence. What you know, what you think is going to, what you think will be dangerous out there is out there. I'm telling you right now. What you think will cause If you walk it out with God and your mind goes, well, how to do this and how to do that and how I'm going to support myself. And I was told that when I came home. I said, I'm going to college. And I came home, just so you know, this was the first Sunday in 1996 that I returned to a church service as a believer of Jesus Christ. 1996, 26 years ago, I came to my first service as a believer in Jesus Christ. Because I came to Christ on Thursday of this past week in 1996. And I came home from that saying, wherever God leads, I will go. And whatever He says, I'm going to do. Later on, I said, yeah, He's calling me to college. And a guy said to me, how will you support your family? And all of a sudden, I started to get this doubts in my head. How am I going to support my family? How am I going to support my family? You can't go. How are you going to support family? What kind of bum are you anyway? You can't. You don't even have a job down there. And all of a sudden, it started to inundate on me. And I saw the follower's snare. And I knew that those things, I knew that financially was going to be a struggle. And you know what? It was! It was a real struggle. Over and over and over and over again. We cried out to God, God, I don't have enough to buy groceries. I don't have enough for gas. And God provided along the way. Everything I thought would be happen really did happen. But God says, this is what I'm going to do. You're dwelling in me, and I'm going to lead you around those things. And if I don't lead you around the deadly pestilence, I will lead you through it. Don't worry. I'm either going to lead you around it or I'm going to lead you through it. Because you're dwelling in me. Are you with me this morning, New Lifers? I only got 25 more points, so stick with me. You're dwelling in God. Not some washed up, wimpy God. And now you are being led by God. You can say, I'm slipping, but know that the Almighty God, you're living in Him, and you're being led by Him. I want us to find our courage this morning in Psalm 91. And we continue down through the passage, and it says this in verse 4. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. Can you just even draw a picture of what that verse looks like? God says, you know you're dwelling in me. You know that I'm leading you, don't you? You know that, don't you? And you know I'm going to lead you around some challenges in life and some dangers and some pestilence. And I'm going to lead you through some stuff. But don't fret it. I'm leading you. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to touch you. I am your shield. And so not only is He leading, but He's not leading. And I know there's a lot in this verse. But He's not leading from a distance, New Lifers. He's leading from a touch. God doesn't lead from a distance. He leads from a touch. Does that make sense? He's leading you with a touch. I'm being touched by God. The next time God pours out the more in your life and fear tries to drive it away from you, just remember, I'm being touched by God. I took you from the ends of the earth, from the farthest corner I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, because I'm your God. I will strengthen you and help you and will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I'm touching you. I'm not barking orders from the heavens. I'm touching you. I'm being touched, personally touched by God. It's a personal touch. Verses 5 and 7 of Psalm 91 says this. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalk in the darkness, nor the plagues that destroy at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. And I wrote in my notes, you know what might take down the normal guy? Doesn't have a chance against the person walking with God. And God says, I'm going to do things in your life, and I'm going to give you abilities like you can never imagine. As a matter of fact, I'm going to do this in your life. As a matter of fact, I want you to know that there's the terrors of the night are the unknown. The arrows flying are the very visible things you should see. The pestilence that stalk you, there's things that are very personal, and they're going to come after you. And the plagues that destroy have very destructive power, but you got to know this. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Because why? Because I'm touching you. And Isaiah continues to say in 43 verse 2, he says, when I pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep you away. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Why? Because I am your God. And my hand is touching you. And I'm pouring out the more. But you're going to need to trust me. If you feel like you're slipping, let's just be honest. I'm slipping! But remember that you're this. I'm suited with a unique protection. You have a unique protection that you don't know you have yet. You're suited with it. You have a protection like no one else when you're walking it out with God. And God says, what will burn up all others won't burn up you. Don't let fear make you fight it or run from it or freeze from it. Don't let fear do that. Find your courage in me. And I will suit you with a suit of armor like you have never experienced before. And you're going to do things that you don't think you can do. And you're going to go places that you don't think you can go. And verse 8 says this, you will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. The affliction you see in others won't be the affliction that you experience. Because some affliction is caused by sin. And when you're walking it out with me, that sin is not in your life. And you can't compare yourself to others. Don't compare yourself to others. Well, when they went there, this happened. Don't compare yourself to others. Will you stop comparing yourself to others? Because I need you to know you're on the winning side. Do you know that when God pours out the more, that you're on the winning side? And he's pouring out more and more and more. And you need to remember, I'm on the winning team. I'm on the winning side. I will not throw in the towel. I am on the winning side. I am on the winning team. Continuing in the passage, it says this. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. You're not going to be dislodged. You're not going to be dislodged. New lifers, work with me here. You're not going to be dislodged. Why? Because of this. Because you're firmly fixed. I'm firmly fixed. Are you with me? I am firmly fixed. Do you know where your feet are? They're in Jesus Christ. They're in the Almighty God. Your feet are firmly fixed in Him. Continuing in the passage. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike a foot against a stone. And I know this passage has Jesus quoted that. I know this has Jesus written all over it. I know this passage has Jesus written all over it and the Father's interaction with Jesus, but I have a feeling that the Father interacts with you and I the same way as his children. And he said, I'm going to send my angels. Don't you know in Hebrews 1:14, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Do you know that the angels, the heavenly hosts, God's servants, who are at his beck and call? Don't you know that Jesus said, I could call 10,000 angels? Don't you know that God has a whole heavenly host? Don't you know that God allows those angels, those heavenly hosts, to participate in your life and in my life? I'm guarded and guided by the heavenly host. You realize that? You are guarded and guided by the heavenly host. There's guardian angels over you. And they're guarding and guiding you. And they're not doing their own gig. They're at the hand of the Almighty God. Continuing in the passage. You will tread upon lions and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Talk about bees, bears, and bulls. How about lions? Tigers and bears, right? Oh my, right? But how about lions and cobras and the great lion and the great serpent? You know what you're going to do? You're going to trample on them. You know why? You know why? Because you're stronger than you know. You think you're strong, and you are strong, but you're stronger than you know. And you're going to trample on cobras and lions and the great lion. Because enough is enough is enough. And he's going to empower people to step on the great lion and the great serpent, and they have strength that they don't think that they have. The passage continues with this. Because he loves me, this is God speaking, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me. Don't mess with me, Billy Bob. I got a Cheryl with a 76 square body Chevy. And that's what the psalmist is saying. Don't mess with me, enemy, because I am calling on the Lord. Push the button. Because when you push against me, you're going to hear me scream, God! I'm slipping! Don't mess with me, because I'm going to call on God. Don't mess with me. I'm calling on God. Let me finish with this one. With long life, will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? Just so you know, I think this is what that's saying. Just so you know, I am not stopping. Because I'm dwelling in God. I am not stopping. I will not throw in the towel. I will call on the Lord, and I will scream his name, and I will remember that I'm dwelling in him, but I am not stopping. I am not stopping walking out this life with God. So you can just stop trying to scare me and freeze me, because I'm walking this life out with God. God, pour out the more. New life, God is going to pour out the more, and we're going to have to deal with fear. But if we don't find our courage in him, we will be frozen. And we'll, you know what comes to mind? And we'll look like a bunch of dorks. Or we're going to fly on the wings of eagles. Just stay seated for a minute. God, I just want you to have a moment just to submit this in my heart and my life. So, Lord, we just stand for a moment. We just pause here. We're going to go in a few minutes. But we pause here this morning for you to drive this deep into our hearts and souls. Would you stand with me today? Elohim, El Shaddai, Yahweh, we're dwelling in you. You are our refuge and our strength. You're going to cause us to fly on the wings of eagles. And Father, I know that that phrase sounds kind of cool, and it is. But I don't know about anyone else, but if you give me wings and you throw me into the air, I'm going to have to deal with fear. But you're going to let me fly. You're not going to put me in some kind of dorky little sack. And you're not going to twist me up in knots so I can fit in the sack. You're going to stretch me out so I can catch the air. And with masterful hands, you're going to launch me through this world. As a matter of fact, you're not even going to really let go of me. And you're going to send your angels. And Father, you're going to give us strength like we never even thought we had. And lions and cobras and the great lion and the great serpent will be defeated because we're walking it out with you. So help us to find our courage in you and not fear what you're doing in our lives. He's there, new lifers. The fire was exactly where he wanted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The lion's den was exactly where he wanted Daniel. God, there is no fear that you can't overcome in our life. And Father, I'm not asking for you to remove the fear from my life. I'm asking you for I would find courage because I am your son. I dwell in you. Your hand is upon me. I'm stronger than I know. I will call upon you and I will not stop. Father, thank you so much for these moments together. Father, here we are. Send us. And we're going out into this world today, many different directions. We're going to spend time with our family. We're going to be at restaurants. We're going to Walmart, whatever we're going to do. And may our faces be aglow like Moses when he come out of the presence of God. And may we even get an opportunity this day to come alongside of someone else and breathe life into them. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.